MSO New Sports Baseball Insider Andy Carboni is joining us here. Getting closer and closer to opening day, Andy. Welcome. Good to be talking with you.
And same with you, Bill, as usual.
Well, we have some opening day news. We'll get to that in just a second, but we have some huge ownership news. I'm sure everyone's heard all these references. It would be great to have LeBron James involved with Boston sports, but he's in ownership, not with the Celtics on the court.
Yeah, it's kind of a surprise. I think no one saw this one really coming. LeBron James is becoming a part owner of the Red Sox. Fenway Sports Group, the franchise's parent company, has announced that James now owns undisclosed amount of company shares after previously holding a 2% ownership in the Liverpool Football Club involved with John Henry. So as part of the deal, the Lakers star will also have part ownership in the other company properties, including Roush Fenway Racing and Nesson. So LeBron James getting involved in more than just basketball, it seems.
Yeah, a lot of folks may not know that, but the Red Sox ownership has tentacles going just well beyond the ball club, and obviously Nesson is the most visible one after that, I think, in this area for sure. Yeah.
And what's a little concerning about this, Bill, is that LeBron is always seen wearing a Yankees hat. So I'm not too sure what this is really all about. We can't have a part owner of the Red Sox running around with a Yankees hat on at all times. So don't really know what the motive is here. Obviously, it's all about money, but I wonder why he couldn't get involved with the Yankees in some way, shape, or form. But we'll see what happens.
Well, you know, the guy pumps in all this money into the organization. I'd say toss him a new hat. Get him a new hat, maybe.
Yeah, I think for the purchase price, he could get at least a hat. Definitely. You
yeah.
Think.
Give him a big gift card for Lansdowne Sporting Goods there, whatever there. Yeah. A souvenir shop, excuse me. There we go. All right, Andy. So LeBron James is now in the Red Sox ownership. And what else do we have here for Red Sox news?
Well, down at JetBlue Park yesterday, Bobby Dalbec hit a grand slam, his second grand slam of the spring, his fifth home run of spring training overall, leading the Red Sox to a 9-1 win over the Twins. Rafael Devers also added a three-run shot. Eduardo Rodriguez allowed one run over five innings for his second win of the spring. Sox off today. They're back on the diamond tomorrow in Fort Myers hosting the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, I see they're on Nesson Friday and Sunday and MLB on Saturday. So a lot of Red Sox TV coming up in the next few days, beginning tomorrow on Friday. So, but also down in Florida, they announced the opening day hurler for the Sox.
Yeah, no big surprise here, Bill. Alex Cora said that Eduardo Rodriguez will be the opening day starter April 1st. First, the Orioles at Fenway, and Cora also added that the Sox will use the traditional five-man starting rotation.
All right, so this talk of a six- or seven-man rotation is certainly not right now anyway, yeah.
Not just yet, but I'm sure as the season progresses, you will see other pitchers moving into that rotation with potential injuries and whatnot going forward. So see how it all plays out.
Any other player movement to share with us?
Well, newly acquired utility player Danny Santana, who was obviously fighting for a spot on the team, he's been hospitalized with an infection in his right foot. So there's no real timetable as to when he'll be back in action, but he'll definitely be starting the beginning of the season on the injured list.
All right, so now we mentioned opening day, which is April 1 at Fenway Park with Eduardo Rodriguez starting. And I understand they're getting ready at Fenway, obviously, for opening day with some fans and the Red Sox vaccination site to Fenway Park to also shut down.
Yeah, the vaccination site is going to be closing on March 27th, so the Sox can get ready for opening day. And if you were thinking of heading to opening day, Bill, it's going to cost you some big bucks with the aftermarket tickets with the reduced attendance at Fenway. Of course, that means prices will be going up if you try to use StubHub or any of those other sources. So right now, lowest price ticket in the bleachers for opening day is about $500. Prices drop after opening day, but still going to cost you a lot, $160 to sit in the bleachers. The 12% cap on fans at Fenway means about only 4,500 people can attend games in person at this time.
Oh, my gosh. So now, with the Red Sox, you said aftermarket, Andy. I know they can't, I guess, but if they were to go to the Red Sox ticket office to buy one of these tickets, what would the price be?
Well, the regular ticket, if you get them through the Red Sox, you'd be paying the face value of the ticket. Just as of right now, the tickets are being offered to season ticket holders, and then they'll be released after that with what's remaining to the general public. Obviously, there won't be probably a lot of those tickets still available for people to, after the season ticket holders, you know, buy their first allotted tickets to start things off with. So that means most people have to go to the secondary market, which a lot of those people with the season tickets will put their seats on the secondary market, and obviously they can make a profit. So if you are able to get tickets on RedSox.com or go down to the box office, you'll be paying what the face value is. Certainly not $500 to sit in the bleachers on opening day, or $160 for the second game of the season, that's for sure.
Yeah, so the Red Sox themselves haven't raised the tickets per se.
No, aftermarket tickets.
All right, that's fine. All right. I wouldn't blame them if they did. If they can only sell 4,500 tickets, I get it.
Well,
you know?
I hear you.
All right, any other Red Sox organizational updates for us?
Well, the Worcester Red Sox, they've capped their full season ticket sales after reaching a goal of 2,100. Team officials say they could have sold a lot more, but the limit was set to allow single game tickets to be sold. A waiting list has been started as well. Polar Park set to open May 11th when the Woo Sox take on the Syracuse Mets.
Oh, nice, nice. Well, that'd be great. Hopefully that well works out and so on. Andy, you always share with us the NESN Plus. I watched a little bit of Nomar last weekend on NESN. It was a Nomar day, I think. I'm not sure which day it was, Saturday or Sunday. And they won the game, but what's up for today?
Well, I'm glad to see that you are helping NESN Plus with their ratings, and hopefully you can maybe do so again at some point this week. But, yes, Red Sox fans on NESN Plus, Red Sox Classics this week, the best of Kevin Youkilis. Today is a game from June 22nd. 2008. First pitch comes your way at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Youkilis hits a couple home runs, including a two-run walk-off homer in the bottom of the 13th, giving the Sox a 5-3 win over the Cardinals at Fenway.
Yuke, all right. Yeah, that was a 2003 game I think I watched on NESN last weekend. All right, now, Major League Baseball news. Must be a lot happening right now, I'm guessing.
Well, there's always something going on, and obviously this time around we're looking at the minor leagues. They're going to be testing some new rules that could be coming to a major league park near you at some point. Triple A games, bases increasing from 15 to 18 inch side squares, improving stolen base attempts and increasing the times players reach base on ground balls. Double A games, you'll see the defensive shift being banned, so four fielders must be in the infield at all times. Single A games, a 15 second pitch clock, an automated strike zone, and limited pickoff moves by pitchers. So we'll have to see how this all plays out during the season. And, you know, this could be, some of the stuff could be showing up at Fenway before you know it.
Yeah, exactly. I like the idea of at least trying the a pitch clock in baseball. I'm not sure I'm in favor of it, but certainly not now at the major leagues. But it's worth taking a look at the lower levels, that's for sure.
I agree with that. And, you know, I can see the situation with the defensive shifts as well. Maybe being limited in some capacity. I mean, obviously you could put three infielders on one side of the diamond, but you know, I think the situation where you're having your second baseman playing in short right field type of thing, you know, I think that should be eliminated. But yeah, we'll see how it all plays out. And you know, very interesting that they're trying to be creative and see if they can speed up the game a little bit.
Yeah, you know, with new owner LeBron James in the fold now, yeah, I would think that he could go to these meetings and say, hey, we have a shot clock in the NBA and basketball, let's do it. You know, so
yeah, absolutely.
All right. Anything's possible now, right? All right, anything else to share with us in the MLB news?
Well, with the reduced capacity at the Fenway Park for opening day, if you really do want to see a game on opening day, you can head to Texas. The Rangers are going to have 100% capacity at their home opener. They'd be the first team in any major U.S.-based sports to have a full capacity since the beginning of the pandemic. Rangers Park holds 40,518 people.
All right, and hey, what's up with the A's and their radio?
Well, some good news to report as far as I'm concerned. They're going to stick with their traditional radio coverage for their games this season. After facing some backlash from fans, the team had tried to ditch the radio and offer a streaming-only service before the start of last season. So glad to see that they're going to keep the games on the radio free for everyone to listen to. That's the way it should be. Obviously, there is pay streaming services for TV at this point. That's been going on for a while. But you know, I think in radio situations, I think everyone should be able to listen to their favorite team without having to worry about paying for it.
No, exactly. But, you know, it's funny. That's been an ongoing issue in Oakland for many, many years, the radio situation. So, yeah. All right, Andy, anything else? Any other Red Sox thoughts or any other developments from spring training in the past week to share with us?
Well, I'll say this. The team has definitely been swinging the bats. They've been scoring a bunch of runs, which we kind of expected would be the case. And the pitching's been a little better so far than people have expected, so maybe it won't be a season of doom for the local nine, but I don't want to get too rosy about my predictions right now. But I don't think you'll be bored watching these games. I mean, if you like teams scoring runs, I think you'll definitely see that happening. Just the question if they can hold off the opposition. But, you know, again, will they be an over 500 team? I don't know about that, but at least it won't be anything like we saw last year, that's for sure.
Well, let me summarize this for our listeners. So when you say it may not be a season of doom, that's a glass half full for you, Andy. That's pretty good.
You got that right, Bill. You know me oh too well.
Okay, there he is. Baseball insider Andy Carboni. I'm Bill Newell here on MSO NewSports.com.